From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. In April, Western Illinois University celebrated its 125th anniversary, having opened in 1899 as the Western Illinois Normal State School. But for quite some time now, the university, which is based in Macomb but has had a campus in Moline, has been dealing with declining student enrollment and fiscal instability. Then this.
There is a lot of tension at Western Illinois University tonight as several layoffs are expected to be officially announced tomorrow. Now, a big reason for the cuts is a drop in enrollment.
This morning, the board saying expenses have exceeded revenue too many years in a row and that all options have been exhausted.
This is the difficult year. This is the year that Western Illinois University is taking difficult but necessary action. This is the day that we make the conscious decision to not pass the buck.
The layoffs that you are about ready to make will not solve your cash flow issue. This will be the fourth time that we have gone through a period of time where there's layoffs at Western Illinois University. Not a single one of those times have worked.
More than 100 faculty and staff members have been notified of layoffs in the past 2 months, leaving students, families, and the community wondering about the future of education at Western. Joining us now to talk more about the situation is Julie O'Brien, Vice President of the Western Illinois Chapter of the Illinois Federation of Teachers, which represents about 500 faculty and staff members at WIU. She's also an assistant professor at Western. Julie, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us for a national perspective on this sort of situation is Kevin McClure, Associate Professor of Higher Education at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington. Kevin, welcome to the show as well.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
All right, I'm going to get my sea legs this morning. Listeners, I should note, we did reach out to Western Illinois University. They have not gotten back to us by airtime. They did issue a statement about the current layoffs. And we will share some of that a little later. For now, you can join the conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. All right, Julie, I'm going to begin with you. Prior to the recent layoff announcement, how would you describe the state of Western Illinois University?
When you say the state, are you talking about just like the nature of morale?
General condition, vibes is the word we're using in 2024. What were things like? How was it doing?
I think there was concern. You know, we'd heard that there were maybe going to be, we had been told actually originally there were not going to be layoffs. And then that narrative changed and we heard there might be some, you know, we're trying to get ready for our students and excited to have them here and to provide that high quality education they deserve. But there's been some concern with enrollment. I'm sure Kevin will probably talk a little bit about, you know, what that looks like nationally. And, you know, there's been some concern about enrollment, of course, and things like that. But some concern, some fear. And then now, of course, that's happened, more concern and fear.
So, yeah, Kevin, let me turn to you, and maybe you can provide some national context about this, because and maybe the question I have is about the sort of the size of some of these public institutions and their struggles. We have in Illinois what we refer to as the directional schools, northern, western, southern, eastern. Some of those are bigger than others, but and there are other schools that fall into that category, even if they don't have compass points in their names. You know, versus the big flagship schools, the U of I and Urbana-Champaign and Illinois State University, for example. Talk about what you're seeing in enrollment in higher education nationwide.
Sure. I think that's a great question. And you lay out the context very well in the sense that we sometimes talk about higher education in the United States as if it is a monolith, but the reality is that we have thousands of colleges and universities, and there is a great deal of diversity of institution types. And so within any given state, you know, you've got certain institutions that garner a little more attention. They might be a little bit more recognizable. We sometimes refer to those as, you know, the state's flagship university or research university. But the truth is that the vast majority of Americans actually attend what we think of or sometimes refer to as regional public universities. And so these are institutions that tend to be broadly accessible in their missions. They're more affordable. They are more likely to be located outside of a metropolitan area. And of course, we have a large number of students that also attend community colleges. And keeping that context in mind is really important because these issues play out very differently depending on the types of institutions that we're talking about. By and large, some of those larger institutions have enjoyed better state support and have more resources coming from alumni and donors, and they might also have more money that they're able to bring in through, for example, research and contracts. And those institutions have not had quite the same experience when it comes to enrollment. So many of them have been able to be more stable on enrollment, or in some cases have grown quite steadily. Where we see some of the greatest challenges is in the regional public universities like Western Illinois, and inclusive of the institutions that I tend to study. And they are critically important for the United States. As I said, this is where the largest share of students are attending if they're going to a public university, but unfortunately have also been subject to much more neglect and receive less state support. And it means that when they do experience those enrollment declines, they have less financial cushion. It's a greater shock to the system. And we in the United States have a tendency to create this system where we have colleges competing against one another. We often pit institutions against one another in a kind of survival of the fittest way. And we say you either grow, you bring in more students, you have the enrollments, or you don't. And if that's the case, we kind of force you to make very, very difficult decisions like those that Western Illinois is facing.
Sort of so a higher ed Hunger Games. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, that's exactly it. And the problem, of course, with a system set up that way is that you don't have similarly positioned actors in the competition. So you're asking, in many cases, smaller institutions with less capacity, fewer resources to be competing against institutions that are much bigger, much more affluent, much longer history, much more donors, and so forth. The picture nationally, of course, is that enrollment is a big challenge for higher education. So Western Illinois is not alone in that regard. The challenge, I believe, is that despite this being very much a national issue, we are forcing individual institutions to come up with solutions to this. So we've kind of taken what is very much a national trend, a national issue, and pushed it into this system of individual institutional competition. And you're going to have winners and losers. And we're very much allowing some of our important, vital regional public universities to be the losers in that competition. And then students and communities that have benefited from those institutions for years are the ones I think that also suffer.
All right, let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We are talking about significant layoffs that have been announced at Western Illinois University. More than 100 faculty and staff members have gotten notice in the past couple of months or so about layoffs that are coming. The university has seen declining enrollment for quite a while now. We're going to get into what some of the sources of that might be in a few moments. But we are talking about this with Kevin McClure, who's an associate professor of higher ed at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, and has looked at some of these issues from a national perspective. And also Julie O'Brien, who is on the faculty at Western and is vice president of the Western Illinois University chapter of the Illinois Federation of Teachers, which represents a lot of faculty and staff at the school. I want to share part of a statement Western published last week. Interim President Christy Mindrup says, quote, "In order to address financial stability, we must recognize that our institution, like so many others across the country, must be the right size and the right shape to serve this number of students. I want to acknowledge the gravity of these decisions and the profound impact they will have on our dedicated faculty and staff, and the impact personnel reductions have on our Macomb and Quad Cities communities," end quote. Julie, what have you heard from students about this?
Yeah, students are concerned. You know, they're worried about their programs. They're worried about their faculty. I teach actually in a student affairs program. I teach master's students. And so I'm familiar with what some of the things that Kevin's talking about, but I've had students text me or email me, reach out to me saying how important that the faculty are, like what an impact they have on students. So they're worried about me. They're worried about, you know, the community. They're just really concerned. And again, you know, when you lose faculty that teach in certain programs, you may lose those programs, and students are expecting to have those majors, are expecting to be able to do those things. So there's just there's a concern, there's a worry. And I've heard that some students have decided to go other places, which is also not something we want to happen at all, because we want them to be here.
How do you respond to that idea? The president used the term the right size, and you do sometimes. I used to cover the Illinois General Assembly, and you would sometimes hear lawmakers saying, you know, why do we need X program at this university and that university, you know, at all our universities? Why, you know, maybe there should be some sort of division of expertise in these programs. How do you respond to that?
It's kind of funny that you asked me that, because I was just thinking I've seen that quoted a lot lately and been at different meetings where the right size, right shape. And I'm like, well, how do you define that? Like, what does that look like to you? What does that mean, you know, in terms of Western and, you know, with the changes that are happening? And I don't think there's a good answer, because I don't know what that looks like. I don't think we've been given a good message about what a right size, right shape looks like. And I feel like that's confusing to people. Like, we just don't know what that is.
Talk about, we talked about the student response. What have you been hearing from your fellow faculty members in the union?
Scared. Let's see. Someone had messaged me that they were scared. They felt scared. They were sick. They were worried. They're concerned. You know, there are faculty who have been laid off that are trying to figure out what they're going to do. I mean, they live in this community. They care about Macomb. They care about the Quad Cities campus. There's also faculty who have not been laid off who are feeling somewhat of a survivor's guilt, because they're like, I have my job still. But then they also don't know what the future holds. At the town hall meeting that we had on Tuesday, the question was asked if there were more layoffs in the future. And our administration has said they're doing everything they possibly can to make that not happen, but that it still may be possible. And so it's almost as if people feel as if they're living on pins and needles, right? Like, they don't know what it's going to look like. And there's a lot of concern for their students. I've heard a lot of faculty talk about their students and how they want to make sure that their students are successful and that they're getting that high quality education. And also, I've also heard positive things, right? Like people saying, well, not positive, I guess, but they're saying, we want to help, you know, we want to work together. We want to work, and we want to help the university thrive and grow. I mean, we want to do those kinds of things. So there's just a kind of a gamut or a bunch of emotions and feelings.
Kevin, just a couple of minutes until we need to take a break, and we'll continue this conversation after that. But before we do, talk about the effect that this sort of layoff can have on the morale of an institution. And, you know, how does that cycle over time, as faculty might begin looking elsewhere for jobs, or students look at transferring, as we heard from Julie a moment ago?
I think one of the huge value propositions of a college or university traditionally has been stability. And that is in some cases baked into the employment contracts that we build. We don't tend to pay people as much in higher education. And part of that is premised on the idea that these are stable jobs, that they tend to be a little bit more protected. And you can count on not necessarily having to encounter or experience layoffs in the same way that you might if you were to take a job in the private sector. And so that's changed. And unfortunately, salaries haven't been changed at the same time to keep up with it. And so we're coming off the heels of the pandemic, where morale in higher education was quite low for a number of reasons. And then you kind of layer on top of it some of these enrollment challenges that are leading to layoffs. And it absolutely does have an impact on morale. It does cause individuals who are otherwise very much committed to the institution to look elsewhere, to look at other opportunities where there is going to be stability and where they feel like they can do good work. You know, one of the things that we don't always recognize is that all of this stress and instability makes it harder for you to do the work that you have trained and spent your whole life preparing for. And the other thing to keep in mind is that these are anchor institutions and communities. And so that destabilization spreads outwards. So these are folks that are consumers in the community, they are active in the community, they bring livelihood and support many, many jobs. And so anytime there's a contraction of an anchor institution or instability, it has far-reaching ripple effects across the community.
All right, we are going to take a break. We will continue this conversation about some of the layoffs announced at Western Illinois University. We're talking about this with Kevin McClure, who has looked at these issues nationally. He is on the faculty at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, and Julie O'Brien, who's vice president of the union that represents teachers at Western Illinois University, also on the faculty there. If you want to join us, maybe you live in Macomb or the Quad Cities, and maybe you attended Western Illinois University. I have two alumni on my wife's side in our family, at least two. Let us know how you feel about what's been happening there. 800-222-9455 is the number to join us today. That's 800-222-9455. More to come after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about the most recent round of layoffs at Western Illinois University. More than 100 faculty and staff have been notified over the past couple of months. Those layoffs will take effect over the coming year. Some will be sort of not have their contracts renewed after the fall semester, some after this school year. Other people have different agreements with the university and will be departing on different timelines. But overall, it's more than 100 people in this latest round. We're talking about this with Julie O'Brien, who's vice president of the union that represents a lot of faculty at Western, the Illinois chapter of the Western Illinois chapter of the IFT, the Illinois Federation of Teachers. Also, for a more national perspective, is Kevin McClure, Associate Professor of Higher Education at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington. 800-222-9455 if you want to join us on the program today. 800-222-9455. Julie, Western has seen a decline in enrollment going back more than a decade now. I was looking at a chart that I think it showed it was sort of a slower decline around the time of the Great Recession. There was a big drop in the mid-teen years, a smaller drop after COVID. When you look at the situation, the overall sort of secular decline, where does the union put the blame for the drop in enrollment at Western?
I think there's been a lot of struggle. Put the blame. Oh, that's a good question.
I have a suggestion if you want me to go ahead. But okay. Yeah. I mean, I was a State House reporter for many years before taking this job. And, you know, there was the 2-year budget impasse under Governor Bruce Rauner, where the directional universities, all universities were given very little state support during that time. But the directionals in particular didn't have the cushion, as we heard from Kevin earlier, that, you know, the U of I had to sort of sustain itself through that time. That's one place I might look, but I'm curious what your perspective is.
I would say definitely. I've worked here at Western for 16 years. I was an academic advisor for 13, and I've been a faculty. I'm on the tenure track now. And so, yes, I've seen it, you know, very high enrollment here, and I've seen the declines, and the budget impasse was definitely a challenge for us. We've seen a lot of students leaving Illinois and going to other places. So I think that's been a challenge. COVID hasn't helped, definitely, in terms of that. And I know with the Great Recession as well, you know, less children were born during that time. And so we're going to start to see that enrollment cliff here as well. So there's a lot of factors, right, that are involved. Less state support in terms of funding to be able to offer services and things like that for students. I think that also as well has contributed to some of that enrollment decline. There's a lot of, and a disinvestment. I mean, Kevin talked a little bit about some of this. I mean, a disinvestment in higher education from, you know, federally and state, in terms of, we know how valuable it is. We know how much it it does for students. We know what it provides, but we haven't seen quite of a, I guess, commitment that we should in that area. So there's a lot of different factors, I guess, in terms of what I see as enrollment. You know, hopefully we'll start to see increases and things like that. And students need support. They need services as well. And so it's a struggle sometimes to be able to do all those things and provide all those things.
No, Kevin, that's such an interesting point. And my prior is I tend to think of a lot of things through a political lens because, as I said, I was a political reporter for a lot of years. But, you know, a lot of the attention on higher ed goes to red states and what, you know, say Governor DeSantis is trying to do with universities in Florida, for example, or how Texas is passing laws to ban this or that universities. But this is a bipartisan, this disinvestment we've been talking about, that's bipartisan. That's not limited to red states. Illinois is a deep blue state. Democrats have had supermajority control of the General Assembly for many years now. And yet they're still putting less money into higher ed, or they have at least. I don't remember the latest figure off the top of my head, but it's one of the few areas of state government that is actually getting less money, not even adjusting. You know, like you do the inflation adjustments. It's like it's really seen disinvestment, I'll put it that way, over the past couple of decades. Talk about that from this, you know, is this a story you're seeing play across the country?
Yeah, the politics of higher education can be really tricky to parse out because it is the case that disinvestment of public higher education has been a bipartisan project. And it stems really from a way of thinking about colleges and universities, as I said, similar to firms that are competing in a marketplace. And consistent with that, from a policymaker perspective, they're very much interested in, you know, how are these firms performing? To what extent are they delivering on the return or delivering to this investment that we are making in them with taxpayer money? What doesn't always get accounted for in that more narrow thinking about colleges and universities is simply the fact that we're talking about very complex organizations where the challenges of operating just increase. And so performance gets harder and harder over time. And we're not exactly the same as businesses. We're very difficult in terms of the types of services we deliver and the cost structure around employees and infrastructure. Yes, it is the case that we see cuts in red states, we see cuts in blue states, although they differ a little bit in terms of the depths of cuts and the rationales that might be driving them. That is a big factor at play here, especially for an institution like Western, though, as you said, with the budget impasse, that left institutions scrambling and having to figure out how they were going to cover their costs in the absence of having state support. And in the event of something like that, you know, regionals and, as you said, directional institutions, community colleges, smaller institutions experience those cuts much more deeply. In the absence of that financial cushion, the number one cost category for colleges and universities is people. And it becomes very, very difficult to figure out new efficiencies or places to cut that don't directly implicate the student experience and make their education worse before you ultimately have to look at cutting jobs. And so, you know, I come back around to the question that you posed earlier. You know, you were drawing upon that statement from the university around kind of this notion of right sizing. We have to kind of shrink and think about what our appropriate size is given this context. What's really interesting about that is nobody really asks that question of University of Illinois or of a Northwestern. Nobody cares what size they are. And in fact, if they get bigger and bigger and bigger, nobody's asking questions about that. That idea.
They're not. In fact, we just did a conversation on the show last week about how they don't have enough dorm space for all the freshmen they've accepted and who came in this year. Yeah.
That's a common trend across the country right now where you've got bigger flagship universities that are growing, 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 sucking up students in some cases, pulling them away from other institution types. And there's not a whole lot of question being asked about that. And at the same time, any question about who needs to be right-sized, where we ought to be making cuts, it's really directed often at our regional public universities. And the result of that is for students that don't have the ability or the means to travel to the flagship university for a number of reasons. They're experiencing a different kind of college or university. And very often at these institutions, we're talking about cutting academic programs and majors. We're often making these institutions much more vocationally oriented. So the programs are much more tightly connected to the workforce. And that's not a bad thing, but it does kind of raise the question of, should not a student that can't travel far, that's from a rural community, also be able to study history or also be able to study a foreign language? And the way that we're setting up our policy right now is no. If you want to do that, you have to be able to travel or get accepted to or be able to afford the institutions that have those programs. And if you can't, then you are going to be doing a different type of program that's much more connected to workforce development.
Like a vocational, sort of a high-end vocational program, basically.
Yeah, we're kind of seeing almost the academic equivalent of tracking in higher education by institution type, where we say we've got community colleges and regional public universities that are for job preparation. And if you want to study the liberal arts, you want to study history, you even want to study chemistry, you need to go to the flagship to be able to do that. But the problem is that opportunity structure does not always allow all students to be able to do that. There are some real structural impediments to students being able to go to the flagship university. And I think that the country as a whole suffers from that, because we know that we have smart, talented students that live in rural areas that have family obligations, and they ought to be able to still study chemistry. You know, my father-in-law eventually got a PhD in chemistry. He was from a tiny town in Indiana, and he was able to start at a regional public university, which is what his family could afford. And that is the type of opportunity pipeline that we ought to be enabling. But it really starts with smart public policy that includes ensuring that we're funding all of these institutions to create that type of opportunity structure.
Julie, what do you want to see changed? If you were given a magic wand or the chancellor's mace or whatever it is that they have there at Western, what would you do to try and right the ship of the university, so to speak?
I think the first thing I would do is to ask, you know, I think these were short-sighted, you know, quick, hasty decision. You know, the university's trying to, you know, take care of a deficit in one fell swoop that's taken years to get here. And the layoffs are not going to have an immediate impact on our fiscal health. I don't know if you saw I think it was NIU. There was an article yesterday in Chicago Business about how they have a larger deficit than we do, but they're not doing layoffs. They're doing a bunch of different things. They're doing, you know, they're trying to reduce this deficit gradually instead of what I think is hasty and too, you know, it's going to have a dangerous impact. So I think that's one thing I'd like to see right away. I'd also like to see more discussion again about growth. We want to build Western, not break it. There's a lot of opportunities for growth. And I don't hear, when I hear the right size, right shape, I don't hear the talk about what are these different initiatives or things that we can do to work together. Something I often talk about with my colleagues is that, you know, we administration a lot of times, and I have my PhDs in higher ed administration, a lot of times they will not recognize all of the resources that they have right at their fingertips. All the staff who are experts, all the faculty and staff who are experts in different areas, whether it's, you know, retention or persistence, or, you know, like with Kevin's talking about higher education administration, things like that. You know, it's almost like a think tank of people that you have right there at your disposal. We often go outside of that or don't talk to those people. We don't get their perspective and their ideas. And people have lots of ideas, and they really, really care about Western. They really care about the communities here. They care about the people. They care about their students. And I just feel like sometimes it's a small group of people making that decision without quite understanding the bigger picture and the opportunities that are right here. So I think those are just a couple of the things I'd like to see: more conversation, more transparency, more ways for growth and innovativeness. I mean, we're trying to do that in my program, and I know others are talking about that. And so I guess that's just kind of what I'm thinking.
Kevin, what about from your perspective? And I wonder if there are success stories nationwide in terms of this sort of secular decline in enrollment at a smaller regional public university. you know, in a state that has disinvested, where things got turned around? Is this just simply a question of legislators finding more money, of which there are many demands in Springfield, in the state capital? Or is there, you know, one of the things we hear from legislators a lot of times is there's administrative bloat, you know, too many deputy vice chancellors for under border basket weaving or something like that. How do you see this sort of policy response needing to happen?
Yeah, I do think that there's a case to be made for thinking differently about how we invest in higher education. And I mean, even at a more fundamental level, acknowledging that higher education is a good, worthwhile investment in a democratic society where we want to see opportunities for talent to emerge to drive our country forward. And that means that we're going to have to be willing to spend money. That's a conversation for us as individuals as well. Us as citizens of this nation, we have to recognize that the ways in which we have public parks and public libraries and public schools and public colleges is that we have to pay our share. At the institutional level, of course, there is responsibility. We do have to steward those resources. And there are times that even the regional public universities that I love make mistakes and they don't manage resources well. Our research indicates that this idea of administrative bloat, to the extent that it exists, is not really an issue at regional public universities. We have to realize that these are small, very leanly staffed institutions. In the vast majority of cases, they need more people, they need more staff. And really, there isn't that much spending that is happening that's at the top when you look at the whole picture of an institution's budget. The one thing I think I would leave with or end with for listeners that may not be as acquainted with higher education, it's that when we read about these stories of layoffs or budget cuts, our first thought is that this was the institution's failure, that they must have messed up, that they didn't have the right leadership, that they're bloated, that faculty are obstructions to change. There could be cases of that from time to time, but I really encourage people to think about the wider picture here. What are some of the structural determinants that's making it really, really hard for public colleges and universities to operate successfully? And we might, instead of thinking about institutional failure, think about how do we need to address some of those structural issues to make sure that we've got thriving public colleges and universities for all of our kids and future generations to benefit from.
Well, this conversation has had a number of ideas that I had not considered before. That is a win in my book. So thank you both so much for sharing your time and expertise and experience with us today. Kevin McClure, Associate Professor of Higher Ed at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, and Julie O'Brien, Assistant Professor at Western Illinois University and Vice President of the WIU Chapter of the Illinois Federation of Teachers. Kevin, Julie, thanks for your time.
Thank you so much.
Coming up after the break, we are going to be talking about antibiotic resistance. This is a big problem in medicine. Sometimes the bacteria that can cause disease learn to resist the drugs we use to treat it. But now, a new antibiotic researched here in Illinois could make drug resistance nearly impossible. We'll talk with one of the scientists behind this development coming up after a short break. This is The 21st Show. Stay with us.